WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This week, as Americans have been focused on our contested presidential election, new information has been released about U.S. interference in another country's democracy, Chile. 16,000 secret U.S. records were declassified and released on Monday pertaining to U.S. covert operations involved in the overthrow of the democratically elected Chilean president Salvador Allende, the support of the 1973 coup led by Augusto Pinochet, and the bolstering of the 17-year Pinochet dictatorship. This is the fourth and final part of the Clinton administration's Chile declassification project. Peter Kornbluh says it's enabling us to rewrite the history of U.S. intervention in Chile. Kornbluh is a senior analyst at the National Security Archive, which helped lead the declassification campaign. He brought with him a document that reveals one of President Nixon's reasons for wanting the CIA to intervene in Chile.
He says our main concern in Chile is the prospect that Allende can consolidate himself and the picture projected to the world will be his success. It seems that what the President of the United States was concerned about was that a socialist coalition in Chile would be freely elected, and this would be a model for other countries, not only in Latin America, but in Europe as well, where there were very strong socialist parties, where Eurocommunism was an issue, to follow suit. And this is a very important document. We have documents that really, I think, show the leading role of Nixon's then National Security Advisor, Henry Kissinger, in overseeing and orchestrating CIA operations to undermine Allende. We have memos from Kissinger to Nixon that lay out what needs to be done. We have the meeting minutes of something called the 40 Committee, which was the committee that decided the policy of covert intervention in Chile, which Kissinger chaired. And in these documents, we can see his absolute leading role in pressing the CIA forward to undermine democracy in Chile.
At one of those meetings, Kissinger says, unless we establish tight control and professional guidance, the covert action program approved by the 40 Committee for Chile will not work. It's going to be a long shot as it is if we have to face the additional handicaps of well-meaning but unprofessional activism, of lack of coordination, and of bureaucratic resistance. We will be dangerously exposed. What's he talking about?
What you're reading is a memo that Henry Kissinger has sent to the President of the United States, imploring him to authorize a kind of a new bureaucratic setup to effectively launch these covert operations, have the CIA intervene in Chilean political affairs, and block Salvador Allende from being inaugurated after he was elected. And Kissinger is taking the lead here to lay out to the president what needs to be done, how the ambassador has to be circumvented, how the CIA has to have a structure, a special task force, and all the resources necessary for this covert project to overthrow democracy in Chile to succeed.
At a National Security Council meeting, President Nixon said, in discussing about why he wanted to bring down Allende, he says, no impression should be permitted in Latin America that they can get away with this, that it's safe to go this way. All over the world, it's too much the fashion to kick us around. There must be times when we should and must react, not because we want to hurt them, but to show we can't be kicked around.
This is reminiscent of Richard Nixon's Checkers speech, in which he said, you won't have me to kick around anymore. And this is a document that was withheld by the Ford White House from the Senate investigators in the mid-1970s when Senator Frank Church was exploring and investigating what the CIA had done in Chile and what the orders of the CIA had been. This document has been kept secret all of these years, and it is one of those documents, Terry, which shows us the richness of this history. It gives us Richard Nixon, in his own words, elaborating on his feelings about a freely elected socialist government in Chile. It shows the imperial mindset of the President of the United States. And even more extraordinarily, you have him sitting there with his cabinet and all the other cabinet members, the Secretary of Defense, Melvin Laird, the Secretary of State, William Rogers, saying, yes, Allende has to go down. We have to bring him down. And when you have at the highest level of the U.S. government, people are freely talking about overthrowing a democratically elected government elsewhere, you have an extraordinarily important historical document.
What do these newly released documents reveal about what the U.S. government did to help bring about the coup in Chile to overthrow Allende?
Well, for all these years, the CIA has maintained that it played no, quote, direct, unquote, role in overthrowing the Allende government in September of 1973. And for the most part, there are very few documents released now from that date period. We know that the CIA was monitoring coup plotting very, very closely, and that on September 8th, according to CIA intelligence reports, the United States did receive word that a coup was in motion. We know that immediately after the coup, the CIA set about embracing and supporting the violent military regime led by Augusto Pinochet. There is one extraordinary document that has been declassified on November 13th, and that is an intelligence report of a conversation with Augusto Pinochet in September of 1972, the full year before the coup took place. And it is a document that is going to help Chilean historians address the issue of when Pinochet's involvement in coup plotting began. In this document, he says to a U.S. intelligence source, that he's having second thoughts about Allende, that Allende must be forced to step down or be eliminated. In other words, Pinochet showing his violent colors here, his violent stripes, suggesting that Allende be killed in order to facilitate a coup. At the very end of this document, most importantly, it says that Pinochet was in Panama in September of 1972, and that he met with U.S. Army officers who he had known from his days at the School of the Americas, and, quote, was told U.S. will support coup against Allende with whatever means necessary when the time comes. Now, this is a document which shows for the first time that the message was passed to the person who ended up leading the coup and to the person who established himself as dictator of Chile after the coup, that the United States would fully support his actions in this regard. And I believe that he and the rest of the Chilean military went into that coup knowing full well that the administration of the United States was fully behind them.
Does it say who led him to believe that, who told him that?
The names of these officers are not mentioned in the actual document, and the intelligence source of the actual report is blacked out. One of the problems with the documents that the CIA has declassified is that they are heavily censored, and it is continuing to wield a black magic marker in the name of national security. There's huge swaths of these records that are completely black and that are essentially covering up major actions that the CIA took that are extremely relevant to the historical record on Chile.
Do these documents offer new information on the connection between the CIA and General Manuel Contreras, who was the head of DINA, Pinochet's secret police?
The CIA sent a report up to Congress in September that laid out in great detail its relationship with General Manuel Contreras, who was considered the most ruthless violator of human rights in Chile. He was Pinochet's right-hand man of repression, if you will, leading the Chilean secret police. He was responsible for sending assassins to Washington, D.C. in September of 1976 to assassinate former Chilean ambassador Orlando Letelier. Letelier is an American associate, a 25-year-old New Jersey woman. Ronnie Moffitt was also murdered in that car bombing. We had hoped that the documents used in this report that was sent to Congress would be declassified on November 13th, documents that show the relationship between the CIA station chief in Santiago and Contreras, the payments that were made to Contreras when the CIA put him on the payroll, the intelligence information that they supposedly got from him, the minutes of their meetings with Manuel Contreras. But none of those documents were declassified. Those are important not only to the history of the U.S. role and responsibility in Chile, but to the current case against Contreras and against General Pinochet himself that the U.S. Justice Department is exploring on Pinochet's potential role as the intellectual author of the Letelier assassination. These documents have a historical value and they have a current legal value. We are hoping that they will eventually be declassified.
My guest is Peter Kornbluh of the National Security Archive. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. This week, the Clinton administration completed its four-part release of secret documents about U.S. intervention in Chile. My guest, Peter Kornbluh of the National Security Archive, helped lead the campaign to declassify the documents. Is there any new information that these released documents offer about the murders of Americans Charles Horman and Frank Teruggi by the Chilean military shortly after the coup?
Many of the documents on Charles Horman were released last June 30th, but some new documents were released on November 13th about the case of the other American who was killed right after the coup, a young man named Frank Teruggi, who was working as a journalist in Chile at the time. The Chilean military came to his house several days after the coup, detained him and his roommate, took them to the National Stadium. His roommate was interrogated and eventually released, but Frank Teruggi was interrogated, tortured, and executed, his body later found in a public morgue. These new documents are very complicated. They show that U.S. intelligence, particularly the FBI and Defense Department intelligence, had received Frank Teruggi's name and address in Chile from German intelligence. A letter had been intercepted by somebody that the Germans were surveilling in Bonn. It was not a particularly important letter. It was simply a letter to somebody they were surveilling there who was publishing literature on various events around the world. And somebody had written to this individual saying, you know, I can't help you in terms of reporting on Chile, but there is a guy who was working as a journalist in Chile named Frank Teruggi. Here's his address. The FBI circulated the address and conducted an investigation in Teruggi here in the United States, did some other reporting on his supposedly leftist activities, labeled him a subversive in some of the documents. The question is whether these documents were passed to the Central Intelligence Agency and whether the Central Intelligence Agency passed them to the Chilean military at the point of the coup. This is a question that the Teruggi family certainly wants to see answered, and it is one of the remaining mysteries of the murder of this American in Chile.
What's the latest with Pinochet now? What's his legal status in Chile?
General Pinochet has been indicted in Argentina for a car bombing assassination of one of his military rivals, General Carlos Prats, and his wife in 1974. The Argentines are seeking his extradition. This was a very similar operation to the Letelier assassination. It took place 2 years before the car bombing here in Washington. Pinochet is now about to undergo some medical testing to determine whether he is mentally fit to stand trial. Almost all other obstacles to his actually appearing in a court of law and facing his victims have been removed by the Chilean courts, an extraordinary turn of events. General Pinochet is being tried on a specific set of disappearances, 14 disappearances that took place during something called the Caravan of Death, when he sent out one of his generals to go up and down Chile, removing political prisoners from jails and murdering them on the spot. 14 of those individuals are still disappeared, and General Pinochet is hopefully going to be tried on those cases. We know that the CIA has one very specific document that relates to those murders, dated in October of 1973, which has not yet been declassified. Hopefully, Chilean authorities can move to press the United States government to release that document and any other relevant document to the case against Pinochet, declassifying those documents or providing them to the Chilean courts so that they may be used as evidence against the general himself.
Have any of the classified documents that have yet been released, or will any, do you think, of the documents that you hope will be released result in the prosecution of any United States citizens who were involved in covert actions in Chile or involved in the coup to overthrow Allende?
The CIA does not release the names of any of its agents. The names of many U.S. officials who were in Chile have been blacked out of these documents. It will be very, very difficult for anybody in Chile to actually bring a case, I think, a successful case against U.S. officials. But certainly there is some accountability issues here. The United States was involved in promoting violence in Chile. The case of Renee Schneider was involved in trying to cover up a murder. I don't know. I think we've gone through a process of an accounting of the U.S. role in Chile, and eventually that process will shift to the issue of accountability. And in that phase, in the years to come, we may well see an effort by Chilean citizens to seek redress for what was done in their country by the United States.
There are documents you still hope will be released. What evidence do you have that these documents actually exist? What knowledge do you have of what they say?
We know about many documents because they have been referred to in previously published congressional or Senate reports or even CIA reports. A recent CIA report to Congress released in September contains multiple references to documents and events that just simply are non-existent in the records that have been released to date. You have to understand, though, that this is the end. This declassification of documents on November 13th marks the end of the Clinton administration's special Chile declassification project. In the future, we're going to have to take what we have learned, read through the documents very carefully, make a list of what we believe is not there, and seek a legal remedy under the Freedom of Information Act or other mechanisms to get the rest of these documents declassified. It may be a long struggle. It took more than 30 years to get these documents declassified. Hopefully, it won't take another 30 years before we have the complete record in the public domain.
Well, thank you very much for talking with us.
It is a pleasure, as always, Terry.
Peter Kornbluh is a senior analyst at the National Security Archive in Washington, D.C.